Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Faisal. How about you?
I'm doing well. We've got very interesting economic data that came in that caused a little bit of a hiccup for one day in the markets.
Wow. Okay, we'll get to that.
And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Volatility has been very low. We've got an interesting show to do, not just a hiccup on the markets, but we've got to talk a little bit about homelessness today. Talk a little bit about how that impacts us, not just the human side of it, right? Yeah. But how do you solve it? What's the cost associated with that? Could it affect your retirement?
Think about this. The bigger the problems we have with homelessness, and it's there's a larger and larger percentage of the population that are having hard times finding places to live.
Right. Okay? And it's not just the people that you think about, right? These are working people that just can't find homes to live in.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's a lot of people.
Right.
And so how does the government handle this? They say we're going to throw more money at it.
Right.
Regardless of which level of government. And they're going to also require more services. Given that, there's going to be a requirement for more money. Where are they going to get that money from?
Right.
From taxes.
Right.
Property taxes, income taxes, sales taxes, charity and organizations are going to come out and say, we need to help.
Right.
Give us your money as well. So there's money going out the door. So and again, this is not, it's a human issue.
Yep.
It's a big problem with this. The impact outside of the human issue as well is the financial issue.
Right.
And where's that money coming from? So we want to talk about homelessness and the impact it could be on future tax dollars that's going to come out of your pocket.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be interesting. Let's talk about this hiccup that you're talking about this week. The markets have been interesting this week.
Yeah, let's go back to the CPI numbers that came out, or the inflation numbers that came out from the United States. First time that we saw a deflation number.
Mm-hmm.
In a very long time.
Very long time. That's right.
And the markets, especially the growth companies in the tech side, were substantially lower.
Yep. It sold off pretty hard.
And for a one-day response. And the rest of the market did pretty good.
That's right.
Right? You know, to heck with tech. We're going with the rest.
Now, is that a comment on tech? Tech's no longer good? As interest rates come down, tech no longer good?
It's very interesting when that one day reaction, small companies did better,
yeah.
Banks did better, international markets did better, but tech was the bad one. Because I think there's a rotation
100%.
Happening versus 100%. Tech is bad.
Right, of course.
There's other opportunity now.
It's been such a narrow rally in the United States around those big mega cap tech names
right.
that it was some profit taking and redeploy some of that capital into areas that have been underperforming.
And right? I think it was some short covering as well.
Probably so.
And so when you have these types of pieces of happening in the markets, I always tell clients, separate the markets from the economy because they're not always going to move in tandem.
Right.
And so when we're seeing that the first data point of deflation comes in, things are slowing down, unemployment rates are going up, so on and so forth, it starts to build a narrative that we're going to head into either a recession or the economy is going to substantially slow down.
Right.
Maybe, but maybe not. That doesn't mean the stock market or specific securities or industries are all going to do bad as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a way to look at this. One thing I know right now that's going to happen because of what the markets have done, especially in the United States, year to date, is people are going to be chasing after returns.
Yes. 100%.
And they're going to look at this and they're going to say, I could have made way more money in this sector or this index or this country.
Right.
And I will chase that. And there's going to be, this is the opportunity for people in our industry to start, you know, pounding the table saying, look how great we've done.
Right.
Bring more money to us. And I think a lot of people are going to move money without understanding the risk they're taking on.
Well, there's a few things that goes on, right? And when we talk about the difficult markets, what people will do is they'll compare a portfolio's performance against the market that fell the least. And when we get into good markets, they, you know, because the advertising will be around how well, say, the NASDAQ has done, right? Well, how come I didn't get that?
Correct.
And what they inevitably fail to realize is that what our industry has done forever is market on return. Everybody inherently knows there's this idea of risk and return, right? When you say that, when you make the comment to people, risk and return, yeah, I get it. The more risk I take, the more return I get. They generally understand conceptually that. But our industry never says, here's the return, and here's the associated risk with this over time.
Yeah, it's not a requirement.
And people still don't ask that question, right?
Yeah, it's not a requirement. Here's what people who are transitioning, so you're less than 10 years away from retirement, or you're already in retirement, why it's a bigger sensitivity.
Right.
The regulators in our industry have talked about this for decades. Mm-hmm. The older you are, the less time you have for recovery. If you have less time for recovery, the sensitivity to losses go up.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
Right.
When someone is looking for an investment and they're looking and they're comparing to other types of investments out there and they only look at rate of return, they're missing that fundamental piece. And so what happens behind the scenes mathematically?
Right.
Okay. Now I'm going to nerd out on you, Dave. Okay. What happens mathematically is the higher the volatility you take on, because volatility goes in both directions, positive and negative, the higher the volatility you're willing to take on, the lower the probability you're going to reach your rate of return or your target growth rate to meet your financial goals through retirement.
Right.
And people don't understand that.
Right.
So yes, I want to have the best return every single year, but am I willing to take on the risk and what am I willing to give up if it doesn't work out?
Yeah. And we're going to face a lot of this over the next little while, right? People are going to be facing this and, you know, to educate, because that's what this show is about. How do people, what should they be asking, right? So when they see the big returns, put up there, what questions should people be asking to find out if it's the right strategy for them all in, or if it's a piece of the strategy they should have?
So first of all, what are you investing in? Understand what the constituents of that portfolio are.
Right.
You need to understand you don't have to know every single detail about every single company or every type of investment that's in there,
right.
But you have to know what the composite of that
right.
portfolio is.
Right.
Because you don't want to invest in something you have no idea what it's about.
Right.
Okay. Number one. Number two, understand, is this an active approach or a passive approach?
Very good.
If it's an active approach or a passive approach. Passive basically means indexes and what are, there's no active approach or management.
Yeah, you just own the underlying companies, the index. Yep.
If it's an active approach, people look at active approach with how much more additional rate of return they can meet versus some sort of benchmark.
Right.
What they fail to ask, and here's what they need to do, is when you outperform, why? When you underperform, why? And what is the capture that you take on when things are moving up? What's the capture that you accept when things are going down?
Right.
Upside capture, downside capture.
Right.
And what's the volatility that you take on to get the returns?
Right.
Because I know at least 50 portfolio managers globally that just crush the market. But they have to be willing to take on substantially higher risk in the market to get that.
And ask for something like what's the worst drawdown period? How much does it fall in a 3-month period or a 1-year period? What's the worst drawdown? And because you can put that in dollar terms. And this is what's interesting. On the way up, people talk about percentages. On the way down, they talk about actual dollars.
Yeah.
Okay. So say to myself, on the way down, if the worst drawdown period is 28 or 30%, okay, do the math on that. And how would you react if that happened?
So here's what I'd like to offer our listeners and viewers today. If you have a portfolio, if you're contemplating other portfolios that are out there, you can send them to us. We'll review them and tell you what the risks are to have that kind of portfolio. And if it's not comfortable for you, we'll give you that information. No obligation, no cost. Just send it to us. We'll be happy to. Go to morethanmoneyready.com to take care of that.
Okay, we've got an upcoming seminar that we should let everybody know about.
July 16th, 7 p.m. at Silver Springs Golf and Country Club. You need to register, so go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
The anxiety around spending money in retirement can have a material influence, can really negatively influence your experience. Join us after the break for some discussion around that. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.